Amen, amen, amen. Last few Wednesday nights, we've been talking about must have been that good, right? Building a great church. Amen. Say, that's what we're doing, building a great church. Wow, look, Brother Eddie is pouring it out. Thank you, Brother Eddie, pouring it out. Amen. Building a great church. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20, you do not have to stand. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And I want Brother Rincon just to read it loud and proud. Amen. I believe that. We talked the last two Wednesday nights. The first thing, the first great commandment. Anybody remember what the first great commandment is? Love God with all your heart. Right. And then the second commandment. Love thine. You are paying attention. Amen. And so we want to do that. We want to love God. We want to love our neighbor. But if that's all we do, we've missed it. We've got to learn also that after we've learned all of the commandments and what God is talking about, and if you truly love Him, you're going to go out and you're going to show Him off. People talk about what they love. People begin to tell others of how much they're in love with their spouse or their car or their bank account or their looks or their football team or their baseball team. They always talk about what they love. And if you love God and you love your neighbor, you're going to be compelled to go out, because I'm going to tell you, our grow is in our go. We must get this word out there. We must let this world, this city, this community, we've got to let them know about this Jesus of Nazareth. There is a world out there that truly does long to hear this glorious story. A lot of you think that everybody knows it, man, and we don't have. I'm going to tell you, there are people that have no idea what you experience on every time you come to church and come to the house of God. There are people that even come into this building and says, wow, I've never felt this before. If we'll just go out there, you don't have to know every verse. You don't have to know every scripture. You don't even have to be able to quote every verse in the Bible. But if you'll just say, hey, I'd love for you to be my guest at church next Sunday. I'd love for you to come with me to church and experience the Lord. And you get them here, God does the rest. Because I'm going to tell you, you'll never save anybody. I'll never save anybody. But God is in the business of saving, like God is in the business of healing. And if you bring empty vessels, God fills empty vessels. But if you don't bring an empty vessel, God can't fill it. Right? Thank God for everything that we do. Thank God for Harvest Festival that's coming up, the retreats that we do and the conferences that we do and the programs. And we go out and we do a 500 backpack giveaway, and we go and we feed the homeless and on and on and on. But I'm going to tell you, events and conferences will never get the job done. The only thing that will get the job done is God. You got to get the Holy Ghost out there. You got to get this word out there to this world. I'm going to tell you, opinions change, beliefs change, but the word of God will never change. It stands the test of time. And your job is not to make up a new gospel. Your job is just to show the gospel. It's the good news. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We live in a world and a society that's always hearing bad news and fake news and drama and all these political games. It's time for the church to be the church and stand out there in an untoward generation and let this world know there is a word, there is good news, there is gospel. We could tell them of the story of Jesus. You tell them about God and they'll begin to say, wow, I've never heard it before. Or like even in the book of Acts, I've never seen it in this fashion. I mean, just take a trip down memory lane. The first time you came to an apostolic service, what did you feel? What God do through you? First of all, I know for me, I came to church and 14, 15 years of age. I come in, I'm looking at everybody. They're running, they're jumping. And back in those days, they rolled. Anybody ever remember or see anybody roll? Some of you new ones have never seen anybody roll. But I remember when I walked in and I saw some holy rollers, I was like, what in the world? What are they on? And then I'd be sitting in my pew and then they'd bust out an old song. Oh, when the saints go marching in, and everybody would get out of their pews and they'd just start marching around the church. Anybody remember doing that? I would go there. I go, what in the world are they doing? I even thought that my dad paid them to do that. And literally I thought in my 15-year-old brain, I was like, that's never going to happen, Dad. I know you're trying to get me, and I know it's just hype, and I know it's just emotion. And that's, to me, I never experienced anything like that. I mean, my life was Catholicism. My mother's side was devout Catholic. We went on Christmas, and we went on Easter. You know what I'm saying? And we did our rosaries, and we did our confessions. And I remember going to a priest one time, and I laid out all the sins that I did. I mean, it was a huge line of sins. And I remember the priest from a window I couldn't even see, but I heard this voice that said three Our Fathers and two Hail Marys and you'll be forgiven. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. Get my rosary out, said three Our Fathers and two Hail Marys, and boom, I'm out doing it again. And then I come to this, I'm like, wow, something's different about this. People are coming to the altars, people are crying, people are weeping, and there's people that are laying their hands on top of people's head, and some are saying, let go, and the other are saying, hold on. I've seen many people get the Holy Ghost out of self-defense. I mean, they're shaking them. They're kicking them. They're doing whatever it is. I mean, when people come here, they've never experienced this before. And you don't even have to give them a play-by-play or a commentary about it. All you have to do is bring them here and you become a worshiper. I've seen a lot of people that'll come to church and like, I've got my buddy here. I've got my friend here. I can't really let loose. And they just kind of hold on and they're like praying, oh God, don't let it be a Holy Ghost breakout. Don't let them go ahead and run. Don't let Reuben just get crazy and do a lap. I hope they just chill tonight. But all of a sudden on those nights, you mark it down, something begins to happen and God begins to move and people start running, people start shouting, and people start dancing. And all of a sudden you got a brother Reuben running the aisles and people are like, wow, what is this? And after service, they're like, wow, I've never felt this before. I've never seen it in this fashion before. I'm telling you, if we want to impact our world, if we want to make a change, if we want to make a difference, we can't just come to church and have service as usual and patty cake for Jesus and go through the same rituals and the same routines. No, we need a divine encounter from the Lord. We need a visitation from the presence of God. We've got to be Spirit-led. We've got to be God-led. We've got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to say, God, let that Holy Ghost fire fall. Because when you get the Holy Ghost fire to fall, then you forget about everybody else around you. That's what Jeremiah said. He said, I try to be cool. I try to keep it in. But he said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I don't know if you've ever put your hand on a hot stove before. But I don't think you've ever put it there and said, ooh, that's hot. Look, there's smoke coming up. Look, my fingers, I'm losing skin. Smell, no, you wouldn't do that. The minute you touch that, you just go, you're just screaming. You know what I'm talking about? You can run on water when you touch something hot. You're running so quick because you got hold of something hot. And the same it is when you get the Holy Ghost, and you truly do. I've never seen anybody get the Holy Ghost. I've never seen anybody speak in tongues with a frown on their face, looking like somebody stole their best friend. No, every time I've seen somebody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they've got a big old smile. They're hugging on people. They're loving on one another. I'm telling you what we need and what this world needs and what your neighbors need and what your family members need is a good old dose of the Holy Ghost. That's the answer to the problem at hand. That's what's going to fix our nation. That's what's going to get us back on the right track, is if we get the Holy Ghost and fire, and we get it made up in our minds that I'm not just going to play church, but I'm going to be the church. You do that and we become a great church because we're spirit-led. And I talked to our leaders Monday night after prayer, and I said, look, 2.5 months, that's all we've got for 2018. I mean, really, I mean, you think about it. Doesn't it blow your mind how fast time travels? It amazes me. Sometimes I even get these reminders on Facebook 5 years, 7 years, 8 years ago, and I'm like, oh my goodness, time, slow down. But it doesn't slow down. James said, life is but a vapor. It comes and it goes. And we've got to understand that we've got to do everything that we can with every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year. We've got to make sure that we make them count. We've got to seize the day. We've got to understand that we've got to finish strong in this race. 2.5 months left to 2008. I want to win more souls. I want to see more people go down in Jesus' name. I want to see more people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to see more people healed. I want to see more people set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. But the only way it's going to happen is for you and for me to say, I'm going to make up my mind and I'm going to finish strong. And I'm going to be spirit-led. We live in a world, we live in a society that we are just bombarded by every turn. I mean, you think about it. We've got so many pressures of life, schedules and deadlines. And we're always just going. And if we're not careful, we just kind of get in those ruts. And I talked to some of our ministers in training on Sunday morning. I say a lot of us go through ruts. And if I were to ask you, have you ever been in a spiritual rut before? Have you ever just been in a rut, period? Not just spiritual, but just a rut where it's not revival, it's just survival. It's just, I just need to get past today. I just need to get to Friday. I just need to get to the end of the month. And we're always pushing off. And we get into ruts. And I told him, I said, in spiritual ruts, the best thing you could do, and I said, it's not going to blow your mind, but there's three areas for you to get out of a spiritual rut. Number one, push the plate away. Every one of us likes to eat. Whatever your flavor is, whether it's tamales, whether it's enchiladas, whether it's cheeseburgers, whether it's tacos, tri-tip chicken, fish, veggie burgers, whatever it is, we all like that because it's our flesh. And we do have to eat to live. I mean, you go 40 days without food and water, it's not going to be long till you won't be on the side anymore. You know what I'm saying? Things start shutting down. Your body starts shutting down. This flesh is a very strong component. And if it's not bridled, if it's not in control, it'll lead you down wrong roads. There's been many times that your flesh has dictated your worship. There's been many times your flesh has kept you out of church. Well, I can't go to church because I had a bad day. I can't go to church because I'm just plumb tired. I can't go to church because I just don't want to see anybody again. But you got to talk to that flesh That's like the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you've got to just talk to your flesh. Get that pointer out and point to yourself and say, self, you listen to me. I don't care if you don't feel good. I don't care if you're hungry. We're going to church. I don't care if you don't feel good. We're going to the house of the Lord. And we're not just going to sit there. We're going to be a worshiper. It may not be your favorite preacher. It may not be your favorite singer. But you listen to me. We're going to church. You got to start talking to your flesh. That's why when you get in a spiritual rut, the best thing you can ever do is fast. That first day's tough. That first meal is tough. And you got to be careful because when you declare, hey, I'm gonna fast the whole week. You know what I'm saying? And you said it on Sunday night, and you just Holy Ghost fire, and you're just way up there, and you're like, man, I'm gonna fast all week long. And come Monday morning, you have got out of bed and you have sat down at the breakfast table and you're just grubbing. You're eating biscuits and gravy, you're eating eggs and bacon and whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be fasting. Anybody ever that happened to you before? Or you wake up and you haven't eaten yet, and all of a sudden, you smell some biscuits, or you smell some bacon, and you're like, Bishop said it, next week. You're putting it off because you're justifying, you know what? Or you've said, I'm going to fast 3 days, and you get through the first day, and then you say, oh, you know what? I got my breakthrough already. I'm going to go ahead and break my fast. Oh, preaching a little bit right there. If you want to get out of a spiritual rut, and it's not in the amount of days, but it is in letting your flesh know you're not in control. And I'm not happy where I'm at. I'm not happy just surviving. I'm not happy with watching everybody else get breakthroughs and get blessings and they're anointed and they're blessed. And I'm not, I've got to take charge of me. That's why the Bible said, work out your own salvation. I'm not going to get my eyes on anybody else, but I'm going to get my eyes on me. And I know when this boy needs to shape up. I know when this boy needs some correction. And I'm saying, Bubba, I know what you want to eat, but you ain't going to Carl's Jr. You ain't going to In-N-Out. You're going to lose some of that stuff. And it's not easy. But when you make up your mind and you decide I'm going to do it, those first 2 or 3 days, I don't know if anybody's ever been on a long fast, but if you can get past day 3 and you're drinking water, you get past day 3, day 4 becomes easier. And day 5 becomes easier. And day 6 becomes easier. And then day 7, and you're like, oh, wow, I've made it through. Now, you've been very careful. You've drank water and you've drank liquids like that to make sure your body's okay. But here's the secret. When you are fasting, whether it's 1 day or 7 days or 2 weeks, whatever it is, when you're fasting, here's what you're supposed to do. When it's time to eat breakfast and it's time to eat lunch and it's time to eat dinner, instead of going to the dinner table, I'm going to the prayer table. And I'm praying, God. And I'm spending time with him. And when you start doing that, you start fasting and then you start praying, it's easier to tap into the Spirit. It's easier to get a hold of God. Why? Because your flesh now doesn't know what to do. You have sucker punched your flesh and all of a sudden it's pushed down and your spirit man now begins to soar and you begin to understand that I'm making strides towards this. I'm going to change this rut that I'm in. And then when you start fasting, you start praying, then you've got a desire to read the Word of God. And you start reading the Word and you've read it many times before and you've studied that same passage of Scripture before, but all of a sudden, guess what happens? Revelation. The illumination of the Word. And all of a sudden, he imparts the golden truths of his word into your heart. And you're like, wow, I've never seen this before. And it's happened when you have turned it around. And you said, I'm going to get out of this spiritual rut. I'm going to do whatever I can. And I'm going to be like Jacob when Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go until you what? until you bless me. I don't know what it is that you need. I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know what it is that you're asking. But the Lord said, if you really desire this and you really want this and you've got to seek after it, you've got to earnestly contend for this. If you'll make up your mind, I want God. I want God in my home. I want God in my marriage. I want God in my family. I want God in my finances. I want God to revolutionize my family members. I want God to help me to become a witness to this world. And you start turning things around and you start becoming spiritual. You start making spiritual choices and you start building a great church. I'm talking about building a great church, right? I'm not talking about building a great church of this building. This church, this sanctuary that we're in is wonderful. It is beautiful. And we thank God for a bishop and a bishop's wife that has been here for over 46 years. They have prayed more prayers. They have fasted. They have knocked doors. They have done it all from 8th Street over there to North Mooney to right here. I'm telling you that they've paved the way. But they've understood, like I understand, that the building a great church is not this building. Building a great church is you. It's your temple. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the church. The church, if all we do is sit in our pews and sing our songs and patty cake for Jesus and we hear a good message, I'm going to tell you we won't go very far. But if we'll understand that we are the church and I'm going to build a great church and I'm going to do my best to connect with him, because if I can do that, then when I go out the four doors of this church and I get outside walls of this building, there's going to be people that are going to look at me and say, there's something different about you. In the word of God, the book of Acts, when the disciples started walking through the city, the Bible says that they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What's the world ever said about you? Or what would you say about you? The way you talk, the way you act. Bible talks about that we are to be kind one to another. Just because you go to Abundant Life Center, just because God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, does not make you kind. Because you're still dealing with flesh. Because you could leave an apostolic service and God could have touched you and you could have prayed and you could have said, oh God, thank you for giving me revelation. And you go down to a restaurant just 5 minutes later, and the waiter or waitresses messes your order up. And how you respond to that tells them who you serve. Oh, you want to say you're a Christian? You want to say you're just like God? But I'm going to tell you, when you're not kind and you're mean and you're spiteful, God says, those aren't the people that are building a great church. They're building their own temple. I want to make sure I'm building God's temple. I want to make sure when I walk into a place, into a building, wherever I'm at, that they don't notice me, that they notice God. That they don't remember me, but they remember something powerful about a God. That's building a great church. And the way you do it is you've got to understand as much as you want of God is as much as he wants to give it to you. That's why he said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. Building a great church and getting out of the rut, it takes work. It takes making up your mind. I'm going to get involved. Can I meddle a little bit? The reason why things aren't going right in your life is because you're unconnected or you're disconnected. Oh, you come to church and you sit on the pew and many times you'll give God a tip and you'll throw some money in the offering plate and you'll think because of the amount of money you gave, you're okay. But you're disconnected from the things of God. And you wonder why everything in your life is in turmoil. It's because you're disconnected. You're building your own kingdom and you have forsaken the kingdom of God. I want to pray that prayer, Brother Ishmael. Not my will, but thy will be done. Thy kingdom. You know what I'm saying? When you start praying about the kingdom and you start putting God first. I'm going to tell you, if you'll just take a trip down memory lane, the times you're the happiest in church were probably the times you're the most committed to church. You showed up on work day. You showed up on prayer day. You showed up every time the doors of the church was open. Nobody had to ask you. You were there. You weren't 20 minutes late. You were 20, 30 minutes early. You started before everybody else did. It's because you understood, I've got to get connected to this. I can't get enough of this. And I'm not here tonight to condemn anybody. But hopefully I'm here to challenge somebody to say what we're living in the last days. And what can be shaken will be shaken. Because God's going to say, I'm gonna see what you made of. Because Peter said, oh Lord, you know I love you. I'll never deny you. And the Lord said, oh yeah, Peter? He said, for the cock crows thrice. You're going to deny me three times? And Peter's like, what are you talking about? I'll lay my life down for you. And then just a few hours later, we find Peter up against an insurmountable obstacle because it was attacking his life. He thought he was going to be captured if he spoke out. He thought he was going to have the same fate that Jesus had, shackles. He thought he was going to go down to a prison. He thought he was going to go down to the dungeon. He thought he was the one that's going to have to carry a cross. And he ran away. And the Bible says he began to swear and says, I know not the man. Because he was disconnected. And the Lord saying, I'm not really looking for words. That's why he said in his word, I don't want you to be a hearer of the word. But I want you to become a doer of the word. You don't have to tell anybody how much you believe in prayer. You just got to pray. You got to tell people how many doors you knock. You just knock on doors. We live in a world, in a society now that it's easier to evangelize than ever before. You've got the power of many doors at your fingertips. I challenge you, Look, those that are on Facebook or social media, check out just the last month of all your posts. And then just kind of put them all together and just do this. Separate them, kingdom comments and worldly comments. Let's see where God abides in your posts. Well, Pastor, you preaching about my posts? No. But I am telling you, we've got the ability to reach thousands of people, not just on here, but at our jobs, at our schools. All we have to do is live the life. And if we can live the life, we can build a great church. We can impact our world. We can impact our city. We can impact the surrounding cities of Tulare. We can reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bible says we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. You just have to tell people who you're in love with. They tell you the parties they've been to. They tell you the clubs. They were clubbing last night. Why don't you tell them, I was clubbing the devil last night. I beat him up last night. I kicked him out of my home last night. I kicked him out of my, you know what I'm talking about? He's not in here. We kicked him out. We didn't invite him in, and we asked the Lord to come in. We asked the Lord to reign. And you know what he did? He took the bottle away. He took the drugs away. He took the perversions away. He somehow did something in me. He took away guilt and depression, and he gave me love and joy. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. Isn't that what the woman that at the well, how'd you know where I was going? You looked at my notes? It's not in my notes, But the woman at the well, Brother Alex, I'm done. If you want to come and save me here. But the woman at the well, she came, and I've given this illustration before, but she came with a water pot, right? Why did she come with a water pot? Anybody? Draw water. Why'd she need the water?
to drink, to survive, right? I don't know if she's going to sell it. I don't know if she was stocking up, because they didn't have, you know, in those days, they didn't just jump on a camel and stroll up to Sonic or you know, stroll up to Burger King or anything like that. They didn't have that. If they wanted a drink, there's no grocery store. She's going to the well to get water, to get this water and bring it back. I don't know how long the distance was. Bible doesn't say, but she brought that water pot to bring back to her home to give them water that would help their physical body. But somehow, in between her pursuit for the physical, she had interaction with the king. And he said this, "Whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But he that drinks of the water that I shall give shall never thirst again. For it shall become in him a spring of living water, rising up into everlasting life." And all of a sudden, she gets the realization who she's in contact with. And look what she does. The Bible said, you read it, she left the water pot. She left the physical. Isn't that what I'm talking about? If you really want God, you've got to detach the physical and you've got to embrace the spiritual. Because the Bible said the minute she did that, she caught that revelation, she forgot her water pot and she ran out to the city and she had a theme. And that theme was, come see a man that has told me everything I've ever done. She became a soul winner. You've got friends, you've got family, you've got coworkers, you've got classmates, you've got people that you rub shoulders with on a daily basis. You can make a difference in their lives if you just build a great church and you put God where he belongs. Not just up on a shelf on Sunday night and Sunday morning and Wednesday night Bible study, but you put him where he belongs, first in your life. So everywhere you go and everywhere you travel, they're like, there's something different about you. Who you been with? You've been with Jesus. You go to Abundant Life Center, that church on the corner of Moody and Bardsley. I knew there was something. You're that crazy holy roller, tongue talker, owl running, pew jumping. I know who you are. Hey, would you pray for me? You don't know what's going on in my life. Would you pray for my home? That's what happens. When you start building a great church, people not only take notice, but when they're facing stuff, they're looking for a lighthouse. They're looking for a refuge. They're looking for a hospital. And if you haven't embraced the spiritual and you're only running after the temporal, you're only running after the physical water pot, you'll never get them when they're in need. But if you'll say, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done, then when the timing's right, that's why God said in Galatians, be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not, if you keep doing what you know to do. Well, Pastor, I'm in a rut. Change the rut. Get out of the rut. Make up your mind. I'm not leaving here until God blesses me, until I get my breakthrough. I'm not leaving my closet of prayer until God comes down. You start getting a hold of that God starts changing you and you start building a great church. Would you stand to your feet tonight? I know it's Wednesday night Bible study. We've got a few minutes before I even shut down. But I think it would be great for all of us to line this front tonight and just telling the Lord, God, I'm going to embrace you. God, I'm going to lay down the physical. I'm going to lay down that water pot. I'm going to lay down my ideas and my thoughts and all the things I thought I had to run to. And God, tonight, I'm running to you. I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to connect with you, God. I've got family that need this. I've got friends that need this. I've got co-workers that need this. And I'm praying, God, today, help me build a great church. Search my heart. Search my soul.
I live Come on. For you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord,
as we're praying, I want us to pray for my boy right now collectively. I know we've already prayed for him, but he's hurting right now. He's facing it right now, and I'm praying that God would pour his blood upon him, praying that God would heal him. He'd take the nauseated away. God would touch his body, take the pain away. Come on, this very moment, this very hour, I need somebody to help Pastor. I need somebody to connect in the spirit right now. Come on, let that great church begin intercede for my boy. The power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus at this very moment, at this very hour. Pray you touch my boy. Pray you heal my boy. Touch him, God. Hallelujah. Come on. This is what a great church is all about.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone.
Hallelujah. God, touch you. When you build a great church, miracles follow. When you build a great church, signs and the miraculous begin to follow. So the Bible says these signs follow them that believe. Build a great church. Find two or three people, love on somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.